The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray, joined in the studio by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol. And we also have Frank Leboeuf and Gabriele Marcotti with us too. Gab is coming to us from Istanbul tonight, so we'll talk about that in just a moment, because the UCL draw was made today, the group stage draw. And it brought us up some interesting groups, some interesting encounters, but perhaps none more so than Group C. Ali, this is an exciting group, isn't it?
Of course it is. A lot of storylines, but the obvious one is Bayern Munich and Barcelona. And if we go back a couple of years in Champions League and the destruction of Bayern Munich, where they take down Barcelona 8-2, and if you look back, it was indeed the beginning of the end for Lionel Messi at Barcelona. Then you spin it forward to a year after that, and while the score line was not 8-2, it was a little bit more respectable. I think the difference in terms of levels between Bayern Munich and Barcelona was even more evident there, that Barcelona was simply nowhere near the elite level than Bayern Munich was, and it really showed us that the demise of Barcelona was real and was here to stay. And now we spin it forward again, and we are in the obvious conversation of Bayern Munich without Lewandowski. And where is Lewandowski? Oh, Barcelona! So clearly, a bunch of storylines just between those two teams. But then here's Inter, who could be the one that really spoils it for everybody else. And how much do we really consider Inter to be a threat in this group? And how much can they really punish Barcelona defensively? How much can they punish Bayern Munich if indeed there's an opportunity to sneak into the top two? Inter can be the team that really settles this group one way or another, but if Bayern Munich and Barcelona are at their best, they should be the top of the group. And indeed, I think the two games between both Barcelona and Bayern Munich should be very exciting.
They really should. I want to pick up on the Robert Lewandowski part, Frank, because I want to talk about him already coming up against his former club. Is it difficult to put what happened before aside, or once you put that shirt on and you're on the pitch and it's 90 minutes, everything changes?
No, it's difficult. It's difficult because you still have to prove that you made the right decision, and you have to prove to yourself, you have to prove to the to your former teammates, and you have to prove to the former fans. And if you don't do so, your actual fans will be disappointed, and you're gonna be teased by the others. So you have to go through, you have to win, and it's not gonna be an easy task for Lewandowski when he's gonna go back to Munich. He's gonna be booed, I guess. I think because of what happened, you know, for him to in order for him to leave. So it's not easy. It's never easy, even for a fantastic player like Lewandowski. It's a hard task to go through.
Do you like the group, Stevie?
By the way, Lewandowski, he's going to love going back there and scoring.
Really?
He's going to be trying so hard. I think he'd be sitting going, I can't wait to score. Listen, the interview he did when he left tells you exactly how he really feels.
Yeah, but they're all
the
friends
one
now.
Oh, yeah, so they are. And then a week later, he goes back to pick up his trophies and his boots or whatever, and they're all pally and they're all there. Oh, everything's jolly. Let me tell you, Lewandowski can't wait to play against Bayern Munich and stick the ball in the back of the net. Of that, I can guarantee.
And to that point, Stevie, the rhetoric around Bayern Munich in the beginning of this season in Bundesliga is they've played three games, they scored 15 goals. Who needs Lewandowski? We didn't need Lewandowski. Now we have more flexibility. Now everybody can score. Now everybody can really play up to their potential because they have more responsibility and you're not just focusing on the one guy. That's what Bayern Munich are saying about themselves. And when you think of that, and if you're Lewandowski, you're like, okay, all right. It's one thing that you want to say that you can spread the the wealth around, if you will, and more guys are going to get opportunity to score. But don't suggest that you're better off not having me on the field. Don't suggest that 40 goals walking out the door is a good thing because now other players can step up into a different position and score goals. I think there's a motivation there for Lewandowski to go back to Munich and do something special against Bayern Munich.
But is it going to just be as easy as that, Lewandowski scoring the goals now for Barcelona? We know what happened to them last year in the Champions League.
No, of course it's not going to be.
No, it's not easy.
It's not going to be that easy. But in terms of storylines, okay, and we're only projecting what could happen, what may happen, what the mindset would be for a player going back to Bayern Munich. In this case, Lewandowski goes there thinking, you know what? I was sort of pushed out the door here. I wasn't treated the way I deserve to be treated. And I don't care what level of player you are, that still goes right deep in your heart and in your soul. And if it means something and you can use that to motivate you, you're going to do that as much as you possibly can.
Well, what about Sadio Mane then on the other side? Will he be looking and wanting to prove, well, look what they are okay without him. Look what I can do.
No, I don't think so. I don't think Sadio Mane's built that way. I think Sadio Mane will just go and want to do his job and do what he does best, and that's concentrate on the game and get in positions to score goals, and hopefully when the chance comes, he'll score them. I don't think you can look at the two players and try and compare what's going on inside their head, because they're chalk and cheese. Lewandowski, 100%, is after Bayern Munich. Mane won't be like that. Yes, he'll want to score goals, but there'll be a completely different motivation.
Gab, what's the thoughts on Inter then? We heard LA touch on them there. How do you think they're going to fare in this group?
Well, look, I mean, on paper, it's obviously not a good group because you're talking about, you know, Barcelona, who kind of acquired everybody in the kitchen sink this summer and were already trending upwards under Xavi. And obviously, you know, Bayern were there for all to see. But I think when they look at the individual matchups, they might say, you know what? We got a shot here. I like the idea of Lukaku, you know, running at Eric Garcia or Andreas Christensen with the help of Lautaro. You know, this is a team that has built up Champions League experience. It's a team that, you know, I think they feel that they can hold their own. So I don't think Inter feel that, yeah, they may not be favorites to go through to the level of the other two, but I think they definitely aren't going to play with fear, and I think they definitely feel that they can take points off of both Bayern and Barcelona.
There might not be favorites to go through, but do you have them going through, Gab?
I kind of do, because I think it would be a great storyline. And like I said, they, you know, over the course of a season, Bayern are undoubtedly a better team. In terms of talent, 1 to 11, Barcelona may well be a better team. But by the same token, there is so much that can go wrong at Barcelona. They have changed so much. I think a lot's going to depend also, and in fact, they're actually working on this right now as we speak, the calendar. I think this is the type of group where it really matters what order the matches are in, who plays what when, and I think it can break Inter's way.
So
hold on a
Inter
second.
Over Barcelona, just is
for,
that gap?
Yeah, just for clarification, because he said, I kind of do. Does that mean that he is?
Let's say yes, he
Inter.
Does. Okay. At the expense of who? Barcelona?
I think more likely Barcelona than Bayern, yeah.
All right, Ali, nope. Do you agree with that?
Well, again, it was non-committal. He said, well, more likely to be Barcelona than Bayern Munich. I want an answer.
That has got, if they go through, I said so written all over.
Yes, I wasn't fully that's committed, but I said so.
Listen, let's say that he did. Let's say that he said it's Bayern and Inter. Is that all right for you?
No.
Well, that means Lukaku's going to have to step up.
Lukaku?
Right? What history has he got of stepping up in the Champions League?
Lukaku.
Thank you. There's your answer.
Okay.
Well, the history is always there to be made. You can change the course of
if
history.
If that's what you're relying on, he's had enough opportunities. So, right. Yeah, I think I'll go with Barca.
To Gab's point, if indeed that's a matchup, if this is going to be decided on Lukaku and Eric Garcia, then yeah, sure, take Inter. Take Inter. Because that's not a matchup that Barcelona would love.
I would agree with you there.
Well,
I would actually agree with that if it's between those two. I would go with Lukaku, yeah. You're right.
However, I don't think that's where it's going to be decided. I'm going to take Bayern Munich and I'm going to take Barcelona.
Go on, Frank.
We have to keep that show, you know, to see. And we are on the laugh with Gab if Inter go through, you know, and Barcelona is out because Lukaku scored the fantastic goal for the 90th minute, which qualifies Inter, you know, because I think I'm going to go, because the storyline is not Bayern Munich. Yes, it is for Lewandowski. It is because of the history, and I agree with Ali. But the storyline, the real storyline of that group is not Bayern Munich and Barcelona. It's Barcelona and Inter, or Barcelona or Inter. And I'm sorry, I'm with Gab. I think Inter can surprise everybody. We don't know where Barcelona is going to stand, and if everything can happen in that group. And I will be laughing a lot if Lukaku can score that goal, which qualifies Inter.
I want certainty, right? Frank just said,
yeah,
I think Inter can.
We're talking about football.
Inter can do it. Yeah, Inter can do it. The question is, will they do it? That's the answer I want. I said definitively,
Do you know if Barcelona can do it, Ali?
Unlike other people in this show, I have made a choice. I picked Bayern and Barcelona.
Okay, maybe Stevie got wishy-washy on the Lukaku Eric Garcia stuff there.
You know? I didn't get wishy-washy.
You did a little bit. Yeah.
No.
Just a little.
No.
I want to know, though.
Not at all.
I want to know, though, Ali, if Xavi's under pressure with this group here.
Well, Xavi's under pressure, period. And there are no excuses anymore. That whatever Barcelona may have reasoned around the failures in Europe last year, those reasons are no longer valid. Because the talent level available to Xavi is elite. If these guys are able to come together and they fit together as a group, Barcelona should be in the conversation of winning the whole competition. It's a big if, but now that's on Xavi's responsibility and on his plate to make it all work. There are no longer any excuses. Barcelona should get out of this group. Anything other than that would be a massive, huge, gigantic failure.
And I just want to, I know we're just talking groups here, but we do have to touch on Bayern because they have had this wonderful start in the Bundesliga, but they're going to be judged on what they do in the Champions League this season, aren't they?
Well, they are, but...
Especially after last season.
When was the last time they never got a group? Yes, it's probably the hardest group, but, I mean, really... If they're stepping on the field tomorrow against Barcelona, Inter and Poulsen, we are not picking any of the other three. We're not. So we're kind of going hypothetical here because, no question, Bayern Munich are the favourites to top the group. And it's going to have to be a horrendous failure for them not to top the group. I'm with everybody else. It's Barcelona and Inter that's the real question, who goes through.
But you are going with Bayern and Barca.
I'm going with Barca. Yeah, because I tell you what, Laporte hasn't gone out and got these players and did what he did with the finances at this club to get knocked out in the first round of the Champions League or in the group stages. Because financially, that is an absolute shocker. It's the worst thing that could possibly happen. So he better not fail.
And to that, Stevie, if we all agree that right now Barcelona are living above their means... This would be the rainy day. If indeed they don't get out of the group, that's the rainy day that brings everything crashing down because you are banking that the product that you're going to have on the field is going to allow you to make up some of the losses that you're going to have in the future. So you have it in your mind, in your plan, whatever plans Barcelona has, at the very top of that plan is going to be making a deep run in Champions League.
There'll be a lot more talk about Barca Bayern, no doubt, on tomorrow's show. Make sure to always catch ESPN FC 7 days a week.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Group A is an interesting one. Ajax, Liverpool, Napoli and Rangers. And the British papers have had a field day about the fact that Liverpool and Rangers will be facing off. I'm up for the fight. Daily Record saying bring it on. Bottle of Britain. Klopp wants his stars of intense challenge. Ranger Danger is there on one of the back pages as well, Stevie. Do you have Liverpool advancing?
Well, yes. I'm going to assume by the time this battle comes round, Liverpool will at least have players back and will have sorted out the problems that we've seen so far in the first three games of the Premier League. As if the game was tomorrow, I would be a little apprehensive, I've got to be honest. But it's not. And Rangers are not at the level of the other three. And actually, I would question Ajax as well. You know, they look as though they're going to get rid of another player.
They could have loads of money, though.
Well, maybe they'll give it to Barcelona and Xavi to help them out. But yeah, I can't. If they get rid of Antony as well, that's basically your three best players. Haller, who went to Dortmund. If Antony goes, and I've already lost Martinez. So I think Ajax are not going to be at the level they were, which means that it leaves Liverpool and Napoli. And Napoli have started on fire, scoring loads of goals. Liverpool, the opposite. But, as I said, the game's not tomorrow.
1 second, Gab. Why did you not go and elaborate on Napoli there? Before the show, you so eloquently told us one of their new stars.
Because I've been practising the name of Kaz. I told you I wouldn't be
able to do that. Oh, you had it, Stevie.
Vice, Kvara.
Kvaratskhelia.
Help him out, Gab, and tell almost. Him if Liverpool almost. Should be worried.
All right, so first of all, I'm not Georgian, so if you're listening, it's Kvaratskhelia, as far as I can tell.
Kvaratskhelia. Well,
I did tell you, Stevie, you could just say Kvara.
All right, he's good. Yeah. He's good. Say that.
Should Liverpool be worried, Gab?
I think Stevie said, well, if they're playing tomorrow, and I go back to what I said before, we're in uncharted waters here. We're going to play six group games in the space of 2 months because of the World Cup. That's never happened before. So I think it's really going to depend on the calendar. If one of the first games that Liverpool play ends up being a game against somebody where they thought it was, it would be a 3-point banker, for example, and they screw it up because, the guys are still missing and Milner has to run around for 95 minutes or whatever else, then it could get really tricky. But I do agree. I mean, Ajax have lost so many players, and you didn't even mention, of course, Mazraoui and Ryan Gravenberch either. It's really hard to see them reloading and being at the level they were at last season. And the other thing doesn't bode well for Liverpool is when you have an English team playing a Scottish team in Europe, it's almost like there's this weird leveling effect, especially when, in terms of the fan bases, it's pretty loaded as well socioeconomically, certain different views and stuff that comes into it. So the rivalry gets ratcheted up, and it has affected English teams who on paper should be stronger. So I think Liverpool will be okay, but I think it's going to be a bumpy ride. And don't forget, of course, the last time Liverpool played Napoli, they nearly got knocked out of the Champions League. And if that happens, they don't go on to win it.
I've got a couple of questions for you, actually, Stevie.
Oh, boy.
Who are you rooting for between Liverpool and Rangers?
Liverpool.
Easy, right? Easy Aye. For you to say. Yeah. All right. You talked hypotheticals earlier.
Yep.
And we're talking about Liverpool right now. You can have, right now, if you have to decide, a guaranteed top four finish in the Premier League or a guaranteed spot in the semi-final of the Champions League with the chance of winning the whole thing, but you will not be in the top four in the Premier League. Which one would you take right now if you had to decide?
Like, go back to saying the name.
I mean, that's not an easy question because, yes, you mean you could win the Champions League, but you wouldn't be in the top four. Well, if you win the Champions League, then it doesn't... If you win the Champions League, it doesn't matter.
But you're just getting the spot in the semi-final right now and you definitely aren't in the top four of the Premier League. That ship has sailed at this point.
Can I have a scale, yeah? Go with that.
That's a tough one. Guaranteed the top four or not win. I think I'll go with the Champions League because if you get the semi-final, that means that you've got to... played well to get there.
Right.
So just I'll go with that. And they'll go
final.
Ahead and win it. And it doesn't matter if you're not in the top four. So there you go.
All right. So Champions League.
Yep.
Gab, are you a bad
really,
luck champ?
Go on, Frank. I'm sorry, Kate, but I really think that if Liverpool is in semi-final of the Champions League, it's impossible to see them not being in the first four in the Premier League.
Okay.
Yeah. See,
but, right, Frank.
But this was the hypothetical. We had to put it to him.
Yeah. Well,
we
nice.
Had to stump him.
And we won the Champions did. League, and doesn't matter what it's up for.
All right, we almost did. Gab, we were just
for the seventh time.
We were just talking before the show. You must be a bit of a bad luck charm there in Istanbul for the Italian sides, because to be fair, it's not been the best of draws for them, has it?
No, overall, I don't think it's been a good draw at all. I mean, maybe Milan slightly better than the others, but that's okay. You know, because I think this is how they improve. And certainly, as far as a team like Napoli is concerned, we're, you know, bringing in these younger players, moving on from the Insigne, Mertens, Koulibaly generation. This is good growth for them. I'd rather they go and, you know, play teams like this than, you know, go play a bunch of Victoria Pilsens every week in the Europa League. So, you know, give this a crack and grow and see where you are.
There is more talk about Liverpool on the Robbo and Jules podcast. Yeah, look at that. The latest one dropped on Thursday. Download it wherever you do get your podcasts.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's move on to talk about Group H. This is where we see Paris Saint-Germain coming up against one of the Italian sides, Juventus. They've also got Benfica and Maccabi Haifa in there. PSG have actually moved up to second favourites with the odds makers above Liverpool because of the starts to the season so far. How do you assess them, though, Ale? Because we know the competition that they're facing on a weekly basis in Ligue 1. And then it comes to this, and who's going to be the biggest test here? You'd say Juventus, even though it hasn't been the best of starts for them. So how do you assess this PSG side?
Extremely talented going forward, trying to find some balance through the midfield, and really will not be judged based upon what they do in Ligue 1. Frankly, I can appreciate the fact that Kylian Mbappe is scoring a hat-trick, that Messi is having an assist here and there and also scoring a couple of goals, that Neymar looks rejuvenated and far more invested and committed in the product on the field rather than whatever is going on off the field. And all those things are positives for PSG. But again, in the worldwide scope, in the big picture, what they do in Ligue 1 has become secondary simply because it is expected that they're going to win, and they're doing that. They're destroying teams. Great. Fine. Fantastic. And they won't have an issue getting out of this group. It's what happens afterwards. It's what happens in the knockout round. That's when we need to see the very best version of PSG, and I think we're yet to see that with consistency in this competition. There have been moments in which they've looked great, and then other moments where they've melted away. Hopefully, if you're a PSG fan, that's not happening this year because the talent is clearly there.
Just taking a look at it there. Frank, just a word on PSG. Kylian Mbappe sticking around. They will be expected to go all the way this season, won't they?
Oh, yeah, that's the number one objective. One thing that I would say to Ali, that's true that we don't care. And they secondary what they do in the League One. But the way they do it right now, and you were using destroying, they are destroying their opponents right now, which it wasn't the case before. So it's like that's the positive sign for me to see them, you know, maybe achieving something, you know, in the Champions League. So I have no question marks whatsoever, you know, in the group stages. I think themselves and Juventus would go through, but we have to wait. You know, will Neymar be fit in February or will be again injured? What would be the state of mind of Mbappe? What about Messi? You talked about a defense, injuries or something else for Ramos or some others. But what we see right now make me think that it's better than it's never been before, following them year after year in the League One. Doesn't say they're going to do well, but they are destroying everybody like we know we expect from them. They didn't do that in the past years. They are destroying. They are in their levels, and their level is 10 times better than any other team in League One. What will be in the Champions League? That's still a question mark.
Frank, I've got a question for you. So I've only seen highlights of PSG. I haven't actually seen a whole game. And my problem with them has always been that Ligue 1 doesn't prepare them from the Champions League physically, from the first minute to the last minute. So you're saying they're destroying teams. Are they destroying teams from the first minute to the last? Or are they having a period of play where they'll maybe score three or four goals and then they just knock it around and then the game's over? Because if they're playing 90 minutes and destroying teams that way, then that will prepare them for the Champions League. Whereas before, as you said, it seems as though that wasn't happening.
That wasn't happened. That's true. The first answer to your question is, yeah, physically, the League One is difficult as the Premier League, but it's as difficult as the Bundesliga or the Liga or the Scudetto, no problem. The difference that we see comparing to the past years is they're consistent. That's what I mean. They're destroying the teams. The opponent don't exist for 90 minutes or so. They did the job every game they play against Clermont-Ferrand and then Atom and then the last game against Lille. They just did in 30, 45 minutes where we were spending 4 years, destroying 4-0 halftime, game over. And they don't need much to do, but they kept on going, scoring against goal, being happy to play together. So that's the big change that I can see. It's why I'm quite optimistic for the Champions League, because physically they're going to be ready, and it seems to be that mentally they're up for it.
Is that a good answer for you?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Everything they said there is what has been lacking, in my opinion, in previous seasons.
So let's get to the team that are the favourites then coming into this season's Champions League. It is Manchester. Oh, sorry, actually, I've actually missed another Italian team here, haven't I? Juventus have not been sparking light into their play so far, from what we've seen, Gab, but they're going to finish second, at least behind PSG here, aren't they?
Well, it's fine. Go ahead and disrespect Italian club there.
they've done a good job.
No, it's just a bit of Allegri ball. I mean,
don't need to bother. Don't worry about that, Kay.
You're right. There is an absolute ton of negativity around Juventus right now. I wrote a whole column about this. I don't think Allegri is helping things right now, even though his name literally means, you know, happy people. In reality, they're anything but happy. And part of it is down to injuries. Part of it is down to performances. Again, a lot, I can go back to this, depends when are these games going to be played, because there's an injury, big injury question around Pogba, big injury question around Di Maria. If they're there and they're fit, then I think they'll feel that they can handle Benfica. And then, you know, they'll take their chances against Paris Saint-Germain. And if they get points off them, then that's gravy and they're fine. If those guys are unavailable in the wrong games and they see the sort of performances like we saw against Sampdoria, who, you know, frankly, are worse than all four teams, but I mean, Sampdoria probably not even a conference standard team, then they're going to run into trouble, and they're going to run into trouble pretty quickly. So there's a ton of pressure on Max Allegri right now, and they're in a difficult position. They hope to bring in another striker before the transfer window closes. They have a deal in place with Arek Milik. But again, does that move the needle? You know, you're going from Morata to Milik, not really an upgrade.
All right, well, let's move on to Group G then, which is where Man City are. They are the favourites coming into this year's competition up against Sevilla, Borussia Dortmund, which means Haaland will be getting to see his old club very soon, and Copenhagen as well. Is this Man City's year, Ale? They do have their striker now.
Much like Xavi, I don't think Pep Guardiola has any excuses available any longer. You watch this team play, and while it's clear to see the impact of Erling Haaland when he's scoring goals, his presence in the attacking half and in the final third opens up spaces for everybody else. And if you give space to Kevin De Bruyne, he's going to take you to pieces. If you leave space to Phil Foden, he can hurt you. Gundogan can hurt you. Bernardo Silva can hurt you. And you just go up and down the list of players that can hurt you. And that's perhaps where they are better than everybody else, in that their possession will dictate the pace of the game, but the amount of players that can hurt you, outside of Erling Haaland, I'm not even talking about Erling Haaland, the other group of players, how much they can hurt you, I think Manchester City has too many tools available, and indeed, they should be the favorites, and rightfully so. If they're at their best, Manchester City should win this whole competition.
What do you think, Stevie? No excuses for Pep Guardiola?
No, but I'm thinking about there is something in the back of the City players' minds. I don't think there's any question about that. And I've seen it affect great players. I joined the Liverpool in the early 80s, and they hadn't won the FA Cup. Certainly the group of players that I joined were European champions, but every single one of them wanted to win the FA Cup so badly. But for about 4 years in the trot, they got knocked out, not even by teams in their division, but lower league teams. There was just something holding them back. European champions. And I guess that's the only thing that I can reach for when I think about City not winning the Champions League, because of every team on the planet right now, they're the team I don't want to play.
Right.
And I'm sure everybody else is thinking that. But there's something to be said for the fact that it gets brought up time and time again. And there definitely is a little foible that affects teams when they're so desperate to win something.
All right, well, I want to actually draw your attention to something that Pep Guardiola said about Bernardo Silva. It came after that friendly with Barcelona and Manchester City. He said, "I'm no one to tell Barca to forget about signing Bernardo. We want him to stay with us, but I don't want anyone who's not happy. I don't want him to go. He's a superlative player and a great person. I want him to stay. That said, it is true, Bernardo likes Barcelona a lot." This is a bit of a weird thing to say, really. He's either for sale, Ale, or he's not for sale.
Mm. and do you want him to stay, or do you not want him to stay?
I know, he likes Barcelona.
He's a superlative player, but I don't want you around if you're not happy. I don't know why going down this path if you're Pep Guardiola. You can answer the question of Bernardo Silva in terms of we haven't received an offer, or there isn't an offer on the table. It's up for the player and the clubs to be able to agree on some sort of fee. Or something along those lines where it just redirects the conversation and you don't have to go down the path of, we want him to stay, but he likes the club a lot and he's a superlative player, but it's a lot of, I don't know that he's actually talking to the media or he's talking to us. I actually think he's talking to Bernardo Silva and he's saying, hey dude, if you want to be here, then be here. But you cannot have one foot here and 1 foot there. It's just not going to work out. So guess what? If you want to leave, sort it out and then go. But if you're going to stay here, then be committed to what we're doing together, because this is a great place for you and we want you to be here.
Frank, you're nodding. You're doing something with your head. It looks like a nod.
No, yes, it was. I think Bernardo Silva has his 2 feet in Manchester City. He's been proven last weekend, you know, against Newcastle, where he had a fantastic game. And I think the guy is fully tuned in is what he has to do, meaning his job. Having said that, I think it's a very political comment that Guardiola just made, you know, willing to please his former club, Barcelona, but didn't want to hurt his current club, Manchester City. Wanted to be nice to Bernardo Silva. Well, he wants to be nice to everybody, and it makes the comment very strange. I think he has to put a foot down or accept the fact that he has to lose Bernardo Silva. But if he's to make that kind of comment, which it's completely useless, in fact, it doesn't help anybody, it doesn't make anybody comfortable, and you wonder why he made that kind of comment. But I think he's ready to leave, to accept the fact that Bernardo Silva is going to leave.
Gab, we wanted to get the Gabometer out here on the percentage chance he goes to Barcelona at all.
I mean, I think it's tiny, simply in terms of if you look at the efforts they've had to go to register their players, including, of course, Jules Koundé, to think that you're going to go and just, you know, Bernardo Silva is going to cost you a ton of money in wages. I think he has 3 years left on his contract. All right, he's 28, but it's still going to be an enormous transfer fee that you have to pay. Unless you're like, haha, look, I'm going to go and sell, you know, Pedri for $200 million to Paris Saint-Germain or something, which I would hope they wouldn't do. It just doesn't make any sense. And I am completely nonplussed by Pep's words here. And he's been consistent on this. He's said stuff like this before. He's totally noncommittal. I'm assuming somebody is trying to work on this on Bernardo Silva's behalf in case Laporta finds some money under the couch or something. And Bernardo wants to keep the window open. And I don't blame Bernardo for doing that. But equally, Guardiola's words, like, they don't help anybody. They don't help Barcelona. They don't help Bernardo Silva. Just shut up about it. Just say, I don't know, we haven't received an offer. And I think he's happy to stay here, but he loves Barcelona too. Boom. Just say that and move on. It's always weird to me when, you know, you've got people wading in and coming out with these sorts of statements. And I can tell you from Manchester City's perspective as well, as far as I know, they don't have anybody lined up to replace him. And so then you're another attacking midfielder short, and Bernardo Silva is very important because not just for what he brings, but also, you know, his versatility and the fact he's a pretty key part of that side. So it just the whole thing makes, I just don't understand it.
I'm kind of the opposite of the other three boys, you know. I think he's been smart. I mean, Gab's pretty much said, the chances of this happening are next to zero because of the financial situation. So in my eyes, all Pep's come out and said is basically not to Bernardo Silva that he's not going and he's not allowed, but that if they can come up with it, then off you go. But you know what? I think you're fantastic. We love having you here. He's covered his bases big time. Yeah, he's completely doing the right thing. He's completely smothering Bernardo Silva in lots of love.
Right.
Yes, you can go. I don't want anyone who's not happy, but we love having you. You're a fantastic player. And he's going to his mates, by the way. There's no chance of this happening.
Yeah, that's his mates over there. Are they okay?
So he's absolutely saying the right thing.
Go on, Gav,
if I'm Bernardo Silva, I'm like, this is great. The gaffer's just said that if I can sort this out, I'm going. But you know what? If I don't go, I'm still going to be playing. This is great for me.
I think there's stuff here that there's more here than meets the eye, because turn it around, look at it from the Barcelona perspective. Is Bernardo Silva a priority? What position would he play? Do they have guys there who they already like in those positions? And the reality is, yeah, we can have a conversation about whether Bernardo Silva's better than Pedri, or if you want to play him out wide, whether he can do a better job than Dembele or Fati or Rafinha or whatever. The reality is, he's not a priority. He shouldn't be a priority for this club right now. So then maybe we ask ourselves, why has he been linked to Barcelona all summer? I don't know. I would want to speculate, but not in a position where I might encounter some liability. So just leave it at that.
But I wasn't coming from Barcelona's point of view. I'm coming from Pep Guardiola's point of view, which is perfect, because he knows it's not happening either. But he's not.
What's the logic from Barcelona's perspective?
Who cares about Barcelona? Pep's not doesn't care about Barcelona. He cares about Bernardo Silva in Manchester City. He knows it's not going to happen. And he can say that he loves that Bernardo loves Barcelona as many times as he likes, and that he doesn't want to keep a player that's not happy on the pretext that it's not happening. So then he smothers him by telling him how brilliant he is and how great he's been, even though we've had this conversation, this whole transfer window, that Bernardo Silva wants to go. It's a smart move on Pep's behalf. Who cares what Barcelona think?
Let's talk about another manager, shall we? I want to touch on Antonio Conte as we go back to the Champions League and take a look at Group D, which is where Spurs have landed against Eintracht Frankfurt, Sporting and Marseille. Gab, I want to talk to you about this, because we've seen Conte struggle in cups, but surely Spurs are getting out of this group, aren't they?
Well, I was speaking to Jules earlier, and Jules said, oh, Group D, that's a Europa League group. Gee, thank you very much. So when you look at it that way, yeah, he's got it. He's not going to have much of an excuse if he doesn't get out of the group stage. If you look at Eintracht, you know, losing Kostic, some upheaval this summer, those other teams in the group, I think, markedly inferior to Spurs. So, you know, that's why he gets paid the big bucks. That's why Daniel Levy chucked a lot of money at the squad in the summer. He has to advance. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Ale, you have a weird and twisted relationship with the Spurs fans.
What?
I wonder where you were going there.
I'm sorry, what?
What do you think about their chances of getting out of this group?
100% Spurs are going through. Yes, and over the years, it has been interesting. Yes, I wouldn't call it twisted, but...
Weird? Is that fair?
Weird, but look, the times that I pick Spurs is because I fully believe that they're going to win games and that they are better than the opposition. And I think that's the case in this group. If indeed Spurs are serious about who they are in the Premier League, they should win this group. And I think it would go a long way for them if not only if they win the group, but they dominate the group. That's what I think should be the goal. Yes, you want to advance, but can you do it really completely dominating these games and being better, substantially better than everybody else that you're playing against? I think they have that sort of potential. Whether they do it or not, I'm not so sure, but 100% they're getting out of the group and they're going to win the group.
Let's get to the balance then, and I'll go with players and managers in this one. But Frank, I'll go with you as a player. How do you balance this as a Spurs player if you are near the top spots in the Premier League and then you have the Champions League and you do want to make a deep run in it? How do you balance that out?
Well, you just do your job. You know, it's part of your job to be involved in every competition and to give 100% to all of it. When you are a Premier League player from a big club, you balance that very well. You know, you go, you play every game like it's the game of your life. You enjoy it because you're on the top of the Premier League and you have the chance to be involved in the Champions League. So you don't even question yourself about how you have to choose kind of, you know, the game you will have to play. No, you go for it or you go for them. You don't even ask yourself, you know, what's going to happen, and you're going to enjoy. Tottenham has to win every to play in that group stage because they are more than superior than any other teams involving that group. So but they will have to do it. When they will play in Marseille, it's my former club, they're going to face 65,000 crazy fans. And for the first 15 minutes, they will have to be ready, even if it's Tottenham. But overall, they're much better than Marseille. They will just have to show it, but they should go on top of it. And I wouldn't say easily, but naturally.
Stevie, manager's perspective, are they deep enough, and how do you put the emphasis on one tournament and the other when you are near the top spots, let's say in the Premier League?
Well, Conte wants to do something in the Champions League. He doesn't have a good history in the Champions League, and he'll look at this group and say, right, we're the best team in this, as his players will. So the only job that Conte has to do now is to make sure there's no complacency at any time. And if he does that, then Spurs are way better than these sides, and they'll go through, as long as there's no complacency. That is their biggest enemy right now. Not the three sides. Complacency just creeping in, maybe.
Sporting are in this group, and it's just a chance to touch on the fact that Cristiano Ronaldo has been linked to Sporting. Now, again. Gab, again, this is the latest rumour on his future. Anything you can add to what the latest situation is here?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I actually bumped into the sporting director of Sporting Lisbon here in Istanbul, and the fact that he's here and not negotiating Cristiano's contract suggests to me that it's not imminent. Might be a couple of days. I think this is always the plan B. You know, he's been shopped all around Europe. He's trying to find another solution. Sporting, he's already denied it earlier in the summer. But the reality is there may come a time when this is the best place for him. And it would be easier for him to go back to Sporting as opposed to the other Portuguese clubs, because that's where his history is. So, you know, you don't want to shut that door permanently. But I still think for somebody like Cristiano to move, there's a lot that needs to happen. And a lot of people will need to take a step back. Manchester United cannot demand a fee, for example, and Cristiano would need to take a hefty pay cut.
Well, Gab, let me stick with you, because it's the perfect time to continue talking transfers and to continue to talk about the next group, Group E, which is where Chelsea will face Milan, Salzburg and Dinamo Zagreb. What's the latest on Aubameyang to Chelsea?
It's weird. They're talking. It's up in the air because obviously Chelsea also, you know, moving for Anthony Gordon, linked to Rafael Leao. Right now, it feels to me like Todd Bowley is talking to half a dozen different people. And, you know, as soon as he gets off the phone, these stories come out in the media. Personally, I don't think Aubameyang is in any way, shape or form what Chelsea need right now. And I don't think he would be a great fit at this club. But, you know, hey, if he feels that Tuchel feels he needs a center forward and that's a guy he's familiar with, maybe. Obviously, there is a history there.
Frank, if Aubameyang does join Chelsea, how far can they go in this competition, the Champions League?
I don't know. I think they can go far, you know, even without him. Will it be a plus to have Aubameyang? I already expressed myself about his fitness, about the fact that he's getting older, and will he be the right fit? I don't have all the answers for that, you know. If he can score 25 goals in the Premier League and score like 10 or 15 goals, you know, 10 goals in the Champions League, that would be fantastic. But I still have, like Gab, doubts about the guys being the real fit for Chelsea. And it's all speculations. Let's wait and see if Chelsea can get somebody, because they need somebody, and especially, they need a striker.
I need to show you what Ale just did back here in the studio. He went...
Well, it's just the numbers that Frank threw out there. If Aubameyang scoring 25 goals in the Premier League and 10 goals in Champions League, well, sign him up. What are we waiting for? Let's make this deal work.
That's what I'm saying.
I just don't think that those are the numbers that he would be providing Chelsea. However, and now you're asking a former center forward. Playing without one, I don't think it's a solution. Playing with a makeshift number 9, I don't think it's a solution. So if you can find a guy who could potentially do a job, perhaps not the greatest job, but a job better than some of these other guys that are somehow trying to take the role of a center striker and they don't really know how to do it because it doesn't come natural to them, then if this is a guy that's available, you know him, you work with him before, if you're Thomas Tuchel, I think there are worse choices out there, is all I'm saying. And Aubameyang would be a player that would want to play, because right now he is essentially waiting for Lewandowski to get injured in order for him to play. Otherwise, he's not playing at Barcelona. It is really that simple.
Let's get to the annual underestimation on Real Madrid, the defending champions, may I remind you, as well. Taking a look at Group F, they are with RB Leipzig, Shakhtar Donetsk.
Somebody's got a chip on the shoulder.
And Celtic as well. A slid far down when it comes to the odds makers, because they were very much underestimated last year, all through the stages, went all the way. This group a good warm-up for the Malay?
Well, yeah, the reason we have now waited 45 minutes to talk about Real Madrid in Champions League draw is because this draw, it is a layup. It's a tap-in, is Real Madrid. Here you go, guys. How about you get your rhythm going in Champions League in the group stage? You will win the group, and then Real Madrid will become the team that everybody expects them to become in the knockout stage. And that's where they are the best in this competition historically. And so I don't look at the group of Real Madrid and say, well, there's a threat here. There's no threat here. It's Real Madrid and then everybody else.
All right. Stevie, we wanted to bring Group B up because we expect that you are salivating at this one. Porto, Atleti, Bayer Leverkusen and Club Brugge.
Yeah, what game do I want to watch? Can I get back to you?
All right, well, listen.
You watch Porto.
Gab, it's a hipster one. So you need to give us a reason why this group can be interesting.
Okay, I need to educate you a little bit on hipster. Bruges, I can see as hipster, even though obviously they lost their best player, arguably, in De Ketelaere over the summer, and Philippe Clement has moved on, so you don't expect them to be as strong. Bayer Leverkusen, I believe I'm right in saying, have lost all three games that they've played this season. I feel bad for my man Gerardo. The reason you watch this, there's nothing hipster at all about Cholismo and Atletico Madrid. There's even less hipster about Porto. The reason you watch this is for the mega grudge match, Porto against Atletico Madrid, which, you know, nearly spilled into a brawl last year, and we may get that again. You watch this for WWE reasons. You watch this because you always wonder, Atleti are always kind of on the edge one way or the other. You know, are these going to limit Griezmann's minutes? Is Saul going to do something silly? You know, how is this all going to pan out? That's why you watch this. You watch this for the two games. Look, let's be fair to Leverkusen and Bruges. They do have some players who are fun to watch. But the problem is they're both in a bad spot right now. And I think Porto and Atleti are just several orders of magnitude ahead of the rest right now.
Okay, quick mention then on the UEFA awards, which always occur when the draw does. And it was best men's player, best men's coach, best women's player, and best women's coach. Karim Benzema and Carlo Ancelotti winning the men's awards, and Alexia Putellas and Serena Wiegmann winning the women's award. Congratulations to all of them. Lots of action to look forward to on Friday. Loads of it also available on ESPN and ESPN Deportes as well. You can see Austin FC against LAFC and the Portland Timbers taking on the Seattle Sounders. But we have Championship, La Liga, Bundesliga, all available on ESPN Plus. And that is all we've got time for on the latest edition of the show. But make sure you stick around with us because we do have some questions. Went quick. We're talking about the Champions League draw. I'm sure there'll be a few more questions about that coming up in extra time. Stick around. Your questions answered next. All right, let's take a look. You know what? I wanted to just tell you all the way through the show, my this has been really tight around my neck. Like you were talking about Craig's neck the other day, right? I put my dress on backwards. I was thinking, why is it so tight?
I'm sorry. Your dress is backwards now?
But it's bad luck in my country if you put something on the wrong way or inside out to change it. But I only realised before I went to wear.
Hold on a second. Wait.
So you never noticed
it? I was sat on air thinking, why is this so tight? My neck can't have put on that much weight in a few days. And I looked and the tag's there.
Let me see the front.
It's a bit more loose at the back, Stevie.
Actually, I can see how you did that because it doesn't look the most different.
Wait, but you figured this while we were on air?
2 minutes to air, I think. I was like, oh dear, that's why. I just had to get it out in case I've been shot like this during the show.
I must ask a question. Now, you've been wearing this dress the whole afternoon.
Right.
How did it get to 2 minutes before we go on air before you figure out?
It was a sparkling conversation with my pundits before the show.
Oh.
You know? All right. Okay. Stevie, first question is for you. We have Frank LaBeouf here, Ali Moreno, Stevie Nicol. Stevie, do you know what a Venn diagram is, like Dr. Shaka and Dan?
Oh, here we go.
A Venn diagram?
You can draw one if you'd like to.
I've heard the name. I couldn't tell you what it is.
You don't?
No. I've never needed it in my life, so I guess I'm not going to need it.
We will take your Venn diagram suggestions. Stevie Nicol related ones would be great.
Well, Stevie, say you had a shepherd's pie here.
Right?
I'm going to do
you
it.
You got my attention.
And you got minced meat over here. Right? And they're in two circles.
Right.
But those circles are big enough to where they cross over. So now you have shepherd's pie with more mincemeat. That part that they crosses over, that's a diagram.
So there you go. This is saying that the two together with even more is heaven right in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. So that the shepherd's pie with more mincemeat, that heavenly part, that's a diagram.
Absolute waste of time. Just eat both of them anyway.
Okay, Stevie, if you were coaching Victoria Pilsen, what would your message be to the team after seeing your team being drawn into the group of death, which a reminder also features Bayern, Barca and Inter?
Seriously? Do you want a serious answer?
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. You can do a diagram for it.
To be fair, there's not a lot they can do. They've got to defend with their lives and all the rest of it. I mean, it's kind of straightforward. Because you can't go toe-to-toe with the teams you're up against. Otherwise, you'll embarrass yourself.
What about Sheriff causing a few problems last year?
Well, that's what they did, didn't they?
Well, maybe it can be Victoria Pilsen. Not having it.
No.
Right. We could do a Venn diagram on their chances.
No.
What is more likely? What is more likely? That Victoria Pilsen do something in this group or you spelling Caravascalia correctly?
Oh, I'll get Caravascalia. No danger.
Hey! Hey!
What's the nickname?
Oh, well, come on now, okay. Come on.
Is that Napoli?
Maradona.
Correct.
Okay, I'm quite a learner.
We've made up for it now for not knowing the Venn diagram. Frank, with Lewandowski meeting Bayern Munich, bound to happen, what was the worst or most intense situation you found yourself in going back to play a club that dumped you? That sort of revenge match, anyone? Did you have that situation, Frank?
Yes, when I was playing, I played for 2.5 years for Laval in League Two, and I signed for Strasbourg, and 5 months after we had to play a game against Laval to know who's going to be promoted, and I had to play against my former teammates. And that was very hard, you know, they had to sell me because financially the club was in danger, and we had to play, and they had to play in Strasbourg, so we beat them. But it was very strange. The feeling was very strange because I had to do my job, but I knew that being qualified would have saved Laval financially also, and therefore, you know, I felt a little bit bitter after the game about our win and the fact that I had to do my job against the club that I loved.
So it wasn't really like a revenge match, you felt bad about it?
Well, no, to be honest with you, it was great to hear Frank with a little hint of humble brag there where, you know, the club was in a tough financial situation, so they had to sell me if they wanted to make money, you know what I mean?
And obviously,
you know,
we won.
Yeah, hey, you want to sell yourself, you get the most money, you got to sell me, buddy.
Did you have a situation like this, LA?
Well, I think I was traded 3 or 4 times. And obviously the first or second time you're traded, depending upon what the situation was, are you going from a situation that wasn't good for you personally? Are you going into a better setup, into a better situation? And if indeed you felt like it was better, then there was no animosity. But if the breakup wasn't all that great, then going back to the place that you play before, I think, yeah, there was a motivation there, and I can remember being traded in the middle of the season from the Houston Dynamo. We had won MLS Cup in 2006 against Stevie, by the way, and I got traded in the following season, middle of the season, to go to Columbus, and I just didn't feel great about it, and I didn't like the circumstances under that happened.
and how they went about it. And so when I went to play Houston again, it was an emotional time. And I actually scored in that game, and in my celebration, you could see that all that anger is coming out. Went on to score in Houston, I think the next two or three games we played as well. And every celebration was just like, get it.
So it's always there?
It's always there. Because you've been, they used to use the term dumped, right? Yes, mm-hmm. you've been essentially being told by somebody, we don't need you, we don't want you. And I don't care what level you're in, that hurts. But it also motivates. And it also lights a fire and says, okay, you know what, don't you worry, I'll be back. And when you're able to deliver, then it feels that much better.
Just before we ask you, Stevie, just going to check you're okay, Frank. We heard some coughing. We wondered if you needed a bit of water.
No, sorry, it's just my humility, you know, will strike me a little bit, so it's why it's...
Stevie?
Not revenge, but I remember the first time I went back to Anfield to play against Liverpool. I didn't know what to do.
Mm. Which dressing room to go in?
Well, not quite that. But go on the field. Because, obviously, respect from the Liverpool fans. But I didn't want to diss our fans. I didn't want to be standing there with a Sheffield Wednesday shirt on and salivating all over the Liverpool fans. So I kind of was in a little bit of limbo. I didn't know what to do. And it took me till about 10 minutes after the game started to settle down and got on with what I was there to do.
And not like second guess yourself.
Yeah, I was discombobulated. I didn't know how to react. Weird.
Ali's is the one out of all of them is when you see your ex, but you're looking your best. Right. as opposed to looking your absolute worst and bumping into them. It's like, oh yes, I'm looking my best today and I saw you.
Yeah.
That was every time.
I don't know what you're talking about, Kay. It feels like there's some experience
every
here.
Every time you went back.
Every time. How many exes have you had?
You said every time you went back.
Question, Kay. When you saw your ex, at least did you have your dress on the right direction?
Yeah, that would help.
I certainly hope so, right?
You didn't put your makeup on the back of your head, did you? No,
thankfully not. But Stevie, do you think Liverpool should try playing with a 3-4-3 to compensate for Trent's defensive shortcomings, such as playing Fabinho and a defence bearing in mind he's played in defence, bearing in mind he's played there before? Robertson would also play as a wing-back on the left flank.
No, absolutely not. You know, if you do that, you're basically changing the whole team, the whole outlook, the whole style of play for one guy. No. He just... And Klopp's not going to drop Trent Alexander-Arnold. So he just has to get the other 10 to be better at their jobs in order to compensate for what Alexander-Arnold can't do. That's what's been happening for the last 4 or 5 years, and they haven't done too badly the way they're set out. They just got to get that little X factor back, that little bit more desire, that little bit more organisation, just get back to basics and play and go about it the way they have done.
Why would they be changing?
Klopp took over.
What would they be changing against, Stevie?
Say that again.
What would they be changing? The whole thing?
The whole thing. No.
All right. After the draw, it's clear Cristiano Ronaldo has his team in the Champions League. Sporting, all the pieces fit for him. Who says no? He wants to play Champions League football.
Aye, uh-huh. And he wants to score goals.
And he wants to be at a team that he cares about.
And go and play in a group that you could make the difference for Sporting to get out of the group, but you've also got an opportunity to play against teams that you can score against. So this whole thing about him being the top scorer in the Champions League forever and a day, if that's true, that's what he's all about now, then Sporting's the perfect place, particularly with that group.
Do you like it, Frank?
Yeah, I do. I do, even if I don't like nostalgia. I think that could be a good idea because that's, again, as Stevie just mentioned, it's a possibility for him to become, well, he's already a legend, but to beat another record. And so that's where he has to go, yeah.
What?
for a guy who wrote a motivational book. Huh? He hates nostalgia.
And went back to a club and was a bit worried about it.
I honestly, where is the heart? So mean, this guy.
What my book has to do with nostalgia? I'm not talking about nostalgia in my book. I'm talking about motivation. I'm talking about present time and not looking backwards to make your future. That's what it is. Life is not about what you've done, but what you're going to do.
But don't you have to lean on those experiences from the past and learn from those experiences so that then you can tackle the future with more optimism because you have learned from these experiences?
A bit, but you don't have to look at it like it was the past. It can be something you can use as a power to be better. But, you know, it's been proven that players will go back to their clubs because it's nostalgia. It doesn't work. Pogba, we don't know. We're going to see. But it doesn't really work for Manchester United. Ronaldo, it doesn't work. You know, so many clubs, so many players came back to their former club. It doesn't work. If it's only about nostalgia, it never works. Life, you know, nostalgia brings you something you cannot have as it was. So it's sad, it's useless, and it brings regrets.
No. Any idea what they're talking about?
I don't know.
It's getting tight in here. Alexander Isak. We want to just finish on Alexander Isak. We have a question here. Newcastle have smashed their transfer fee to bring him in. Alexander Isak scored more than 10 goals in La Liga once in three seasons, LA. How many Premier League goals will he score this season?
And that is indeed the big question. Now, if you watch Alexander Isak play just for 10 minutes at a time, there are a lot of things that he does that he is very good. For a tall, lanky guy, he's very good with the ball in his feet. He has change of pace. Because of how long he is, he's difficult to get around as a defender. But that final touch is not always there. Now, he'll go off and score a magnificent goal, an outstanding goal. You're thinking, man, he's got it in him. But then disappears in terms of productivity for a long period of time. Mm. He scored 6 goals last year in La Liga. 6 goals in 32 matches. That's not a great return for a team in Real Sociedad that likes to attack. Now, is he going to score against Barcelona, against Real Madrid, against Atletico Madrid? Well, maybe not. But there are many teams in La Liga where Real Sociedad would have been the favorite in those matches. So it's a long way to go to a final answer here. And that is Alexander Isak will score a few goals. But I'm going to suggest if he scores 10 goals, he's had a great season at Newcastle.
Okay, I think he did score against the two of them. But I do want to just add to it, so you can do Strikers Union or Forwards Union. 22 years old. Does that say, okay, maybe there is time to grow?
Look, and yes, I suppose that you can bank on potential. But at 22, you should have been given signs that there's enough productivity for you to become that guy. And
there's a large part of your mould already done by 22.
Yes,
right. Yeah.
You know, yes, you can get better at things, but it doesn't hit you as a goal scorer. He's more part of an attacking unit as opposed to the guy who's on the end of it and putting it in the net, right?
And to that point, he actually sometimes will take himself out of the 18-yard box for a big guy, tall guy. He goes out into wider areas, or he drops off to the top of the 18-yard box when the ball is about to be crossed. And these are things that have happened over the last couple of years in La Liga that have been very noticeable. And for me, that tells me that the instinct of scoring goals is not natural to him. He'll score a few, but doesn't quite have the natural ability, that instinct to feel where that ball is going to be, where is it going to end up, and where can I be the most dangerous.
There you go, Newcastle fans, just to fill you with confidence.
Well, on the positive side for Newcastle fans, you know, he's going to replace a guy in Woods who's just one-dimensional.
Yeah. Oh, it's an upgrade to that.
So
yes.
It's an upgrade. They're upgrade. It's cost them $58 million to upgrade, but it's definitely an upgrade. And at the end of the day, if you're Newcastle, then that's what you're trying to do. You're going up the steps gradually. You're not just going from 0 to 100. So it's an upgrade.
It's
But it's
okay.
It's going to make him more dangerous, yes. Goals, right? But don't think, okay, well, this guy's going to show up and score 20 goals. That's just not going to happen.
One word, Kvara or Isak?
Kvara Donna.
Thanks so much for your questions. Make sure to join us tomorrow for more ESPN FC, available 7 days a week.
I'm pretty sure it's not Kvara Donna.
And make sure you're always looking good, just in case you bump into your ex.
What?
Which one?